Ways. TAN Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
It's time for the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network. Live from the Ferg Sports Bar and Grill Studios, across from Tropicana Field in downtown St. Petersburg, Florida. Providing a positive perspective from the peewees to the preps and the pros across Tampa Bay and the USA. Get your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection and your hosts, Mike Rickard and Ben Botham.
Welcome back to hour number two of the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on this Christmas Saturday, the 23rd. It's a gorgeous day, actually. It's a Chamber of Commerce day down here at Ferg's. Of course, we've got seven college bowl games down here today. 104 televisions. Come on down to Ferg's. Whichever game that you are interested in, you got the Potato Bowl today. You got the Armed Forces, James Madison Air Force. I like that game. Potato Bowl. The
Camellia Bowl,
the Las Vegas Bowl tonight. And then tonight you also have the Hawaii Bowl. And then so those are all the games tonight.
And some big NFL football going on as well.
You do have some big NFL football.
You know, I'll be throwing some money on it, Mike. Got to dig myself out of that
Bengals,
hole.
Bengals, Steelers, Chargers. And so you said you're going Chargers. You're going to go Chargers and Steelers?
Well, I got to look at what
Why don't you just give me
hold
the
on,
money?
Yeah, hold come on.
Let me give me the money. I'll hold on to it for
Let
you.
Let me see what the spread is on these games here, Mike, because I got to see what it's looking like.
My
it's
God. 1-800 bets off, but I love the fact that your generation is embracing this Hard Rock app. Because it benefits all of us.
It's so easy, too, to use, which is a big
even
plus.
For a dinosaur like me.
I promise you, Mike, you could be on there winning bucks.
I'm on it now.
Look at that. See,
well, I mean, Ben, you got to win now because it's that time of year and all. You got to get the gifts and all. I'm still waiting for my gift, by the way.
Oh, yeah. You might be waiting a little bit. Santa might have dropped
some
that.
Some banana bread.
Yeah, okay, that's well, hang family. On. Mike gave me that, not you. Well,
no, that was for me.
That was from his mother.
We got to keep it over there. Can't have the pedestrians snagging it as they walk on by.
It's freaking gold. Are you kidding me? We're brought to you by our good friends at Body Armor for our high school conversation. We'll talk to Brad here in a minute. And then, of course, our Ice Pick Vodka, Sea Dogs Brewery, and Shrimpies, our good friends over there on Blind Pass Road. And, of course, we'll be talking a little Bucks football as they take on the Jaguars. We'll talk to Ray Kennedy, and then we'll talk to Alex Reba and Oscar Garner III. We'll talk a little bowl game predictions all the way up to the national championship. Did you find the point spread on that?
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot. I might actually take it now. It's,
oh, my God.
They got 12 and a half points.
Why don't you just close your eyes?
Or look at this. Look at this, Mike. There's Bills to win and 44-plus total points, and they boosted the odds on that, plus 140.
Ben,
so
I just want you to close your eyes, and I'll hand you this pen, and I'll let you go and I'll point you to where the
right,
team to pick.
Okay. All right. What about this one, Mike? Bills first drive results, offensive score. So that's not a bad one. That's minus 130. That's not too shabby.
He's got a gambling problem already.
Hey, it's not a gambling problem, Mike. It's
an opportunity to enjoy the game.
It's an opportunity to enjoy the game. When you throw $5 here and there, it's not too shabby.
Ben, the gambling problem gets bad when you're not actually consistently winning. So.
Well, it's $5 here and
hey,
there.
Hey. No. He's probably broke even. He won like three bills, and he thought it was so easy.
I thought he
showed up at my party last week, and he's looking at the results of the games. And he's down in the dumps. And I'm like,
yeah. See, I put in $50 to start off the year. I put on $50 to start the year. I'm still positive. I'm, you know, it's not great right now.
Yeah, up a buck.
I got what 175 in the account. I started with 50 at my height. I was up over 400. Now I'm a little down.
You were up over 400?
Yeah.
It's called cash out. Go to the window.
Oh, Mike, you never know when the next one's coming.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's have a conversation that's a little more positive. And for our world, from the peewees to the preps to the pros on this Christmas Saturday down here at Ferg Sports Barn Grill. First of all, look at this weather, fellas.
Oh, it's beautiful.
And I'm out of my mind, but I love my grandchildren and my children. I'm getting on a plane. I'm paying for that to go to 22-degree weather.
Pay for him to come
days.
Down here, Mike.
I do.
Yeah,
exactly.
Backwards.
But I've never seen him at Christmas, so
okay.
I'm going to get in the spirit, and I've got to. Papa Santa has got I got a suitcase just for toys.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. I'm a nut job. Absolute nut job. Well, people are going to think that there's some nut jobs that are making some of these decisions. We're not calling them that. But this reclassification is the top topic right now in high school sports, I'd have to say.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, anybody I've talked to, I mean, from Josh to even Bob Putnam, Josh White to Bob Putnam, I mean, they're really kind of it's weird what they've done. I mean, I'm just looking at these this past week. I was just kind of little like, okay. I mean, one to start off, for example, I mean, this is going to be an interesting one. Class 6A District 10 now will comprise of Eastlake, Steinbrenner, Largo is going to be in this, and Palm Harbor University High School. Very unusual. I mean,
many each district?
Three to four. It varies.
Okay.
Yeah, it varies. I mean, we saw how Eastlake did. They struggled this year. Palm Harbor struggled here and there as well. I mean, especially
Largo will roll these guys.
Oh yeah. I mean, yeah, they solid. I mean, absolutely solid team.
Largo's laughing all the way to the playoffs.
Absolutely, but we won't talk about that one game that they had to play. So, you know, I mean, even one that's interesting to me, looking at it, was 5A District 9. You have Braden River, Bradenton, Manatee Parish, and Pinellas Park. Pinellas Park.
Say it one more time.
Braden River, Bradenton, Manatee High School in Bradenton, Parish High School, and Pinellas Park. It's the
weirdest
thing. That
makes no sense geographically.
They went from playing Largo and Osceola and Seminole to this one. It just, to me, it logically makes no sense.
What about these? There were some traditional rivalries within districts. Those go the way of the dodo bird, kind of like what's happening in college football?
Absolutely, yeah.
This is BS.
Yeah, I mean, again, you had Seminole and Osceola that were in the same district. I mean, and even with Seminole, I know we talked about this briefly, they went independent. They have only 20 to 25 guys on the team now that will be returning. That could change. But again, they're going independent to make their decisions. You know, here's another one that I thought was really, really interesting. That's going to be interesting to watch. You have Class 4A District 10, Clearwater, Countryside, still a rivalry, but you have Gulf High School and River Ridge. That, to me, makes no sense. It really does not in terms of stacking up, you know, the playability. Now, one I think that, which is interesting, listen carefully to this, and I think it's even competition for starters. You have Class 3A District 11, Braden and Bayshore, High School in Bradenton, Bogey, Gibbs, and Sarasota Booker. Now, those teams are pretty level. I think, you know, for competition-wise, they're going to be okay.
And it's just across the bridge. Yeah. I mean, they're on the south side of St. Pete, both those schools.
Yeah, so it's not that far of a
drive.
That's
the only one that makes sense geographically so far.
Exactly, yeah. Now, the one that pretty much stayed exactly the same is Class 1A, District 9. You have CCC, Indian Rocks Christian, Northside Christian, and St. Pete Catholic. That pretty much stayed the same. No change in there. So
that's tough for St. Pete Catholic these days.
Yeah. Congratulations, by the way, to Tarpon Springs. Jeremy Froud, he decided, it's like, hey, it's time to get back into districts and all. So in Class A and Class 2A District 9, it'd be Tarpon Springs, Cardinal Mooney, and Lakewood. I think for Lakewood
Lakewood's where?
You have Lakewood's now going to be in 2A District 9. I think that this was a smart move for Lakewood for them to build the program back up. We saw how they did this past season. They struggled. They definitely struggled this season.
Well, they lost a lot of starters to Clearwater Central Catholic.
And also, you graduated Anthony Calandria, who was, you know, one of their top quarterbacks in the county and even the state of Florida. So they're going to be building the program up for a while.
Their district for me one more time.
Their district that they're in now is Class 2A District 9. So,
but they're in now with Cardinal Mooney
and Tarpon Springs.
Where's Cardinal Mooney located?
They're all the way in Sarasota.
Well, that and Tarpon Springs, Sarasota,
and Lakewood, South St. Pete, South St. Pete, yeah. So
there's only three teams.
There are only three teams.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's kind of unique too.
Yeah. Now,
they've been traveling back and forth to Miami. I mean.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, they kind of had a little bit of a spread there, but yeah. No. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see these teams play. I think they're both. Lakewood's going to struggle for sure in that district. But I think Tarpon, it will be a good chance to see. It'll be a good chance to see how Parkes Harris and all them move up.
Now, my question is this: is this all sports?
This is just football.
It's football.
This is just football.
Because they're not jacking with you guys in baseball at all, are they, Ben?
No, not till next year, Benny.
Not till next year. Yeah, we should still be about the same right now. Next year is when things start to change a little bit. Once again, there's a lot of kids that aren't playing sports anymore, and especially with the ability now for parents to take their students to private school and have the state pay for it, it's kind of changed.
This is a sad state. I mean, I'm an old man, and some of the things I see happen down here in Florida, I shake my head, but a lot of them are across the country. But you got your finger on the pulse. You're 25 years old. You're in the classroom. You're teaching. You're coaching. it's scary, isn't it?
It certainly is. And two, like, these kids, they don't have the same appreciation for the rivalries that we had. I know I'm not
or
that
school,
much.
Or school pride.
Yeah, yeah, it's gone. Pride. Well, school it's all about selfishness, I think, is the other thing, too. The kids are all out for themselves.
Isolationism.
Rather than,
that's where this society is going.
Yeah.
And I know, this is a topic we could do on a podcast for 2 hours.
Yeah.
But it's almost an isolation issue. Communication, kids being able to look you in the eyes. I bet you, Ben, in a classroom, very few kids can look you in the eyes and have a conversation directly. Yeah. I see it all the time. And the communication skills are going to be horrible.
Yeah.
I got news for you, youngsters. I'm not doing business with robots, and I don't. And if you don't have some semblance of manners, interaction, respect, I don't care. I'm one of those guys. I walk that line. I will walk out. I'm not going to be treated this like. And they don't even know that they're doing anything wrong because
that's
the parents of a lot
up.
Of them is sitting in their stinking room, work on their
on their computers their playing
tablet,
video game,
whatever, whatever.
Well,
now we're not playing sports.
Well, Mike, we saw earlier with Seminole Soccer how their two players were. Okay, you look at Colin and Sal.
Well, Rick Macy enforcing that.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Absolutely. That's all they kept saying is yes, sir. Absolutely. They understand and they realize the dedication, and they are an example of the ones who are coming up. And it's through great parenting, but also great coaching as well.
Yeah, it's tough seeing some of these kids the way that they act in the classroom. A lot of kids, they're just not interested. A lot of teachers have said this is because of COVID, that the kids weren't as interested.
Oh, be
but,
it.
I mean,
no.
It's starting to get a little bit better, I will say, at the school. Kids are getting a little more motivated to go to these games. But I remember when I was in high school, we didn't go to parties for the Osceola kids because that was Osceola. That was our rival. We didn't like those kids. Mm-hmm. And now they're hanging out with them. They're going out parties together. They're doing their own thing. And it is so foreign to me. I don't understand it. That's Osceola.
And
that's,
you're only seven years
rival.
Removed from being in high school.
And now it's like the kids don't care. They're all on social media.
I'm sorry,
media,
America.
Doing it all.
America, you need to
know,
guts. This is what's going on at the high school level. And you're losing the passion. That you know, why will they even – they won't have class reunions in the future.
No.
I mean,
no.
I had
Why?
Mine, you know, mine's coming, my high school reunion, I'd say it's 2024 coming up. In 2 years, it's going to be my 20th high school reunion. So
you're older and dirt.
Yeah, I know.
I'm still waiting for my
50th is coming up.
Yeah, your 10 years coming up.
My freaking 50th.
Yeah.
God keeps me on the planet that long. Unbelievable. All right. So any other interesting developments in this redistricting issue that you want to address forward?
I mean, really, another one that's going to be interesting to watch is Class 2A District 8. You had Calvary Christian, Berkeley Prep, and Tampa Catholic. That is great lineup.
Very solid.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. I mean, there's some powerhouse in there.
Oh, absolutely. Especially with Berkeley Prep. Look how far they went this year.
If you get state championship, by the way, how do you pronounce coach's name over there?
At Berkeley Prep?
Yeah.
Can't remember how to pronounce that.
But they've been pronouncing it Chow all these years. It's C-I-A-O. I had a long conversation with him. He's bringing the Berkeley Prep kids over in January. He happened to go, I don't know if I mentioned this to you, Ben. He happened to go to college. He's older than I am, give you an indication of what a great story it is, and winning his first state championship. It's Coach Seow.
Seow.
Yeah, but I said, well, the media calls you Chow. He goes, I got tired of fighting it. But he went to college in Iowa, in Dubuque, Iowa, at Loras College, and I used my Iowa connections. I called him. And he says, it's about time you called me. I heard his roommate's brother was one of my best friends in high school. He said, I heard you had, and he used to be the coach at Jesuit. He said, I heard you had the Jesuit boys over. You've had all kinds of teams from across the bay, and you haven't invited me yet. He just let me have it, but he is a little Italian that was hilarious. So we'll have him over. But
there's one more I want to point out real quick.
Well,
there's one
the strength of that. If you get second in a district, do you still make the playoff?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Right.
That
now,
was
yeah.
the question I had.
Yeah, that was the next one. There's one more, which I think is interesting, and this is Class 4A District 11. We're just going to give a quick shout out to this. You have Southeast High School, Northeast High School, I mean, you have that territory and all that, and then you have Osceola is going to be doing that, and St. Pete. So that's going to be interesting to see.
Well, Sean Davis was the coach at St. Pete High.
Yeah.
So there's some rivalry there, and St. Pete High had a nice year.
Oh, yeah, they had a great
year.
You
said Southeast?
Southeast High School, which is in Bradenton.
Oh, okay. So there will be travel.
Yeah, there will be travel for
bridge
that
back and
yeah.
forth.
I think really with this, it's just obviously the redistricting, and I know some people have been complaining about the traveling and all. You know, it is what it is. I mean, you look at teams that have been playing a lot of competitive teams down in Broward County in Miami. You look at that. If they're willing to go down and play there just to see the competition and see how strong the team is, that's a great indicator of how the dedication is. Again, it, you know, with a lot of teams in the area, yeah, their districting is going to be terrible because you're going to have at least one, maybe two strong teams in that district. But if you're willing to take the chance and just go out there and try, that's the way I look at it. Don't let that get to you in some ways.
Well, did they, when they make these decisions, do they ever consult coaches?
Not really, to be honest. No, the FHSAA really does not consult them. They just go by a little bit of statistics. Obviously, how many students are in the high school and how many actually will play sports and all. They've looked at those numbers. They've looked at records. It's all about analytics. It's all about stats. That's really the way they look at it. They're seeing the size of the school and its participation. And really, with the school, they're like, okay, well, we'll level it out. We'll basically say, okay, there's so many kids in this high school. They should have enough players to play this team here and all. In a lot of ways, they don't consult the coaches in that. The only way you can basically make a decision as a coach is basically say, okay, we're going to go independent. Or if you don't have enough kids, in the example of Shorecrest Prep, it's like, well, let's just do 8-man. I mean, look how good Shorecrest has done.
Now, when a school goes independent, because I know there's all the Title IX rules and like how schools can have a certain number of men's or women's or girls and boys sports. See, Mike, I caught myself there.
Very good. I taught you well.
Does that affect it when a school goes or changes one of their programs to independent? Are they then able to bring in more sports for boys and girls? Or
as far as I know, no. I mean, you have to have, it's like, for example, Indian Rocks Christian, they have beach volleyball over there, okay? Yeah. You have to have so many other schools that do it in order to have that competition. Same thing goes with lacrosse.
They have sailing too, don't they?
Indian Rocks, no.
No, I'm saying in the state of Florida.
Oh, state of Florida. Sailing, yeah, yes. In the state of Florida. Yeah, that makes sense. It's like with lacrosse. I mean, lacrosse, you have to have so many schools that do it. There's a lot of private schools that do it in the area. I know Admiral Farragut.
Like, it's like club.
Yeah, it's a club. Yeah, it's like, yeah. And, yeah, you have to have so many schools that will do it to basically go and say, okay, we got this many. We'll make a classification. We'll have a state championship. Same thing goes with bowling. If you're willing to have a school, so many schools that are going to create bowling teams. Yeah.
Hey, best sport there is out.
Yeah. But my point being is that you have to have enough to do that in order to have a state championship lined up, and it could be there. I mean, bowling is definitely, well, I guess if you want to call it a sport if he coaches it. But
hey, Shell was here, and Shell gave him unbelievable recommendation. Yep.
I'll put that on my CV, Mike.
Now, what did he say about you?
He said I was the best inaugural coach they could ever have.
All right, we'll give you that. But no, I mean, it all boils down to how many schools are going to be willing to do these other sports to create them. And then they have to have so many. I forget there's a number that so many schools have to do in order to basically make it something within the FHSAA.
But if like Seminole gets rid of or goes independent for their football team, does that open the door for a boys and girls lacrosse team? Because there are a lot of lacrosse teams. I mean, Osceola has a lacrosse team, I'm pretty sure, or they at least used to have
one. They used to have
it. Do you guys?
No,
we do not currently, but that's kind of what I like.
You have to have a coach that's willing to initiate it, plus enough players.
Hand up.
Oh, no, no.
I'll take another stipend. I don't know nothing about it, but I will be
Josh Walker, if you're listening to this right now.
Inaugural coach for lacrosse or whatever other sport you want to give.
I like any sport. You can run around and you can hit guys with sticks.
You're darn right. I'll watch as many YouTube videos as there are for lacrosse. Hell, I'll even do sailing. Well, Pinellas County Schools wouldn't do sailing.
Do you know how to swim?
I do know how to swim, but there's a big issue. I've actually been sailing, Mike. I know.
I'm still waiting for Andrew to take my old carcass out.
Anytime you want. He's out sailing today.
I'm not getting any younger.
But usually he goes on weekends, Mike. It's a little tough. You know, we're doing the show. What if we did a live one from the boat? Takes us on a little sailboat race.
You guys be down here, and I'll call in.
There you go.
I'll call in from the boat.
Yeah. Oh, Ben, you know, we got to make sure we can actually run the show and all that. But that's beside the point.
Oh, we can get that done.
But
hey, we'd be remiss if we didn't talk about this coming week, next week.
Oh, yeah.
With the Sun Bash.
I'm excited about that. I mean, look at the teams that are going to be, I mean, obviously in this. I'm looking forward, you know, with St. Pete, East Lake, Bogey, Calvary. I mean, Countryside. These are going to be great teams in it. I mean, Jake Perper, shout out to him and all. Him and his staff put on a great program down in Northside Christian. This is going to be its seventh year, so I'll be commentating that game. Mike remembers how I did last year and all.
Well, he did a superb job. It'll be video televised as well.
Yeah, it's going to be through the NFHS stream through Northside Christian. They're going to be streaming that. Plus, too, it'll be on the Florida Sports stream here at RadioSAP.com, so you get a chance to listen to it live. So anybody out there.
So Brad's call, folks, will be on the video, and he did a superb job, and it promises to be even better this year. But I suggest, and I talked to Doug Skull yesterday, he's got a tournament up there himself this weekend with his own team, that you go up there and you see these kids, because as I alluded to before, I considered this a baseball football state. I didn't realize there was that much basketball talent in here this state until I went and watched it.
You know, and as we talked about in the past, I mean, you have sports here that can be played year round. So, I mean, basketball can be played year round anywhere else. But I think with this area, especially Pinellas County and a little bit of Hillsborough, you can draw the talent in. I mean, it's really there. IMG Academy is a prime example of that.
But you know what I like even better than that? And with the game of basketball, because the numbers aren't so important, Gibbs has a very solid program.
Oh, yes.
St. Pete High has a very solid program. Those two schools have not had success in football of late because it's a numbers game and it's tough to do so. And economically, it's the haves and the have-nots as far as equipment, facilities. But basketball, here's the Gibbs kids. Here's St. Pete. They're going to the regionals. They're going to state championship. I love it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's funny you talk about.
And they're in this tournament.
They're in this tournament, yeah. And it's funny, you look at Gibbs and Lakewood. I mean, I've told this in the past. I love going to those games. I used to love going to. I mean, Lakewood could not. They didn't. They don't have a big enough gym to hold all of them. So they have to go to Edgar College. They have to play inside there. And when you're at Gibbs, it's just as exciting. I mean, these teams absolutely just go.
It's off the charts.
It's off the charts, yeah. I mean, it's like watching a college game.
It's a neighborhood brawl.
Oh, neighborhood rivalry, that's for sure. So, it's going to be exciting. The Sunbash is going to be very exciting to see again. I'll get to be back up there. I got to get back into my basketball state of mind just to basically be able to commentate a game. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that's going to be happening this year with that program. And Jake's going to watch me go nuts, but that's beside the point.
On Thursday, what time do you think your first game will be on?
Probably a little after maybe 4 o'clock, 4 or 5 o'clock, something like that. So, because, yeah, I got to be at Home Depot bright and early in the morning on Thursday. But Friday and Saturday, I'll be on the mic. So
we will post on our social media, Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, the schedule of the broadcast and on RadioSt.Pete.com. And that'll be Brad Richardson, brought to us by our good friends at Body Armor. Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk a little hot stove, and then Alex and the big old join us. They're going to talk bowl games, and I'm sure that Alex is going to have an opinion on what's going on with the L.A. Dodgers, your favorite team now.
My least favorite team in all of sports now.
Oh, Benny.
Well, it's unbelievable.
Oh, I know.
They yell at the Mets, but they don't yell at the Dodgers. They love them for some. I don't get it. The Mets have just as much history as the Dodgers. Aren't even in Brooklyn anymore. They left. They're gone. They're in L.A.
All
now.
The way in. Let's on take the other a side break. Of the
Who cares?
Take other a side break. Of the country, Benny.
It's our Christmas Saturday show down here at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. Spectacular Saturday. Come on down and enjoy the downtown St. Pete vibe today. The weather is gorgeous on a Christmas Saturday. We'll be right back on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network.
The first quarter is over.
Never show weakness. Only pain that matters is the pain you inflict.
Keep your head in the game with the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Live from the Clubhouse Studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Are you ready to rock?
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
On the Tee, Florida, Florida's fastest growing premier golf and entertainment show has now moved to Thursday nights from 5 to 7, providing more golf entertainment and inside information from PGA to LPGA, LIV, NCAA, high school, and local events. A show for scratch golfers and fun-loving hacks. Two pros, John Rieger and Bill Butner.
Pulling out all the stops of the fourth.
All right, let's go.
Time to bring it home with the dub.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, serving Champa Bay for 29 years, voted the Bay's best wings and sports bar, located across from Tropicana Field, is your sports headquarters and private party destination. Weekly live music, axe throwing, dog park, Raise Bucks and Lightning watch parties every game and 95 televisions to guarantee your favorite team's games are always on. Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, Tampa Bay's iconic sports and party headquarters. Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection with partner RadioSaintPete.com launched a new sports streaming channel, Florida Sports Stream, on RadioSaintPete.com. Florida Sports Stream provides local and national podcasts, radio shows, live events. The Tampa St. Pete Prep Connection will broadcast Florida high school boys and girls sports, live play-by-play coverage, media days, award ceremonies, positive stories and content across Tampa Bay, Florida, and the USA. From the Pee Wees to the Preps to the Pros, recognizing positive participation in sport and the people that make a difference. Podcasts include NASCAR, Florida Fishing, MMA, Rays, Rowdies, Bucks, Lightning, local media personalities, pickleball, local colleges, FCA sports, Florida Sports Hall of Fame, and NFL Alumni Tampa. Just a few of the shows and podcasts with dozens on deck. That's Florida Sports Stream on RadioSaintPete.com, supported by Body Armor, Sea Dog Brewery, Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, and Ice Pick Vodka. Take a listen and have a championship day.
Pulling out all the stops of the fourth.
All right, let's go.
Time to bring it home with the dub.
Let's get rocking.
Stick to the game plan with a Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection live from the clubhouse studios inside Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Let's rock this joint.
On the Tampa Bay Sports Connection Radio Network.
Welcome back to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on our Christmas Saturday show. I've got Ben Botham, of course, sitting across from me. Best baseball Ben Botham, bowling Ben Botham, and of course, the voice of the Seminole Warhawks and our high school insider, and that is Brad Richardson. Everybody in the Christmas spirit. Before we dive into any serious conversation, your favorite Christmas song, Brad Richardson?
My favorite Christmas song. Okay, so I'll say this real quick. When I was in band, the one I loved playing every year was Sleigh Ride. Love that song. It's very loud. It gets to that ending.
What instrument did you play?
Saxophone.
Saxophone, my man. I like the sax.
Yeah.
No, why don't you bring it down some Saturday and hum a few bars?
It's been a while, so I don't know how well the embouchure will actually play anymore. I love playing the song. And probably one of my one favorite song just to listen to, great song, is probably just Jingle Bells. It goes back, you know, I love the Christmas songs with Santa in it, but Jingle Bells is just, it's one of those songs anybody can know. It's easy to pick up. It's just great.
You got to remember the lyrics?
Do I remember the lyrics?
I said, and you can remember the lyrics.
It's easy. It's very easy to remember the lyrics. Okay.
You're not picking Dominic the Christmas Donkey?
No, sorry.
What do you got there?
Anything by Bing Crosby. I'll take that.
White Christmas there,
you
buddy.
Know, you could do...
Dominic, why don't you crone over there, buddy, by the way? Do the Bing Crosby.
Dominic.
I don't know about that.
Dominic the what?
The Christmas Donkey.
What the hell is that?
It's basically almost a ripoff of Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer.
No, it's just talking about the donkey, and then they go, ee-haw, ee-haw.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, again.
Christmas donkey.
I'm glad I haven't heard it.
Or, you know, Adestes Fidelis is pretty good, Faith of Our Fathers, anything like that. Classic Christmas songs, always.
Handel's Messiah there, buddy?
What was that?
Handel's Messiah there, buddy?
Christmas songs. Christmas songs by the crooners. The Frank Sinatras of the world. Yep. The Dean Martins.
Dreaming of a white Christmas.
Damn, the boy's got a voice.
Just like the ones I used to know. Yeah, well, hey, we're supposed to be talking sports.
We're going to be karaoke down here for the next half hour. Ben Botham, Ben Bass Botham, bass.
Bass Botham. I don't know. That wasn't exactly a bass voice. I don't know really what that was.
Hey, I was saying,
alto,
Brad.
Little alto. Not even close to a tenor.
You're a bass.
Sort of tenor bass. But anyway, actually, it's funny. You know, one song I actually do like, too, I'll say this, is Nat King Cole, the Christmas song, which is
by far my favorite.
Chestnuts up, roast on open fire.
1,000%. Yeah. You know it's Christmas season when you hear that on the radio.
Oh, certainly.
You guys ever watch Jimmy Fallon?
Yeah, of course.
I love Jimmy Fallon. The other clowns I can't stand because all they do is talk politics. But Jimmy Fallon has a blast during the Christmas period. He has the ugly Christmas sweater giveaway. 12 days he does that. He gives something to the audience. I mean, that's a ticket. If you're ever in New York, you want to try to get a ticket during Christmas. But he's a hoot, man.
He, you know, whenever I watch Fallon,
he's an entertainer.
He's an entertainer, yeah. I mean,
he doesn't just sit up there in his chair and ask questions. He's an entertainer.
No one can be Carson. I'll say that. Carson was one of a kind. And, you know, with Fallon, he's doing his own thing. He's trying to make it fun. And I mean, when I remember when he first came on, real quick, you know, he actually touched into nostalgia for me. When he had Keenan and Kel on for like an all that sketch. I mean, Ed, I love from Good Burger. So needless to say, when he had him on there, you know, it's welcome to Good Burger, home of the Good Burger. Can I take your order? That was cool. For me, it was just a nostalgic moment. Fallon touches into that. He could go and say, hey, let's bring my younger audience in and do that. And that's how we started off really well. So, and he does some good stuff on there. I mean, he has, what is it? You do, like these simple songs, but you sound like the singer and all that. I can't think of what it's called, but you get some of these celebrities who are good singers and they'll, you know, do an impression. They had Ariana Grande singing, like Christina Aguilera, the wheels on the bus go round and round, something like that. He just knows how
to have fun. Very creative cat.
Yeah.
So your favorite song then? Did we determine it?
Anything Bing Crosby.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right. So let's go back to what, the travesty that just took place in the world of baseball, as far as you're concerned, mm-hmm. most baseball purists are as yeah. well. Mm-hmm. And the rich get richer, and the Tampa Bay Rays of the world keep battling, trying to figure out ways to to stay relevant.
Yeah, it's going to be a little. I don't even know how to describe this. I'm very hot right now on this. The Dodgers are ruining baseball, and it starts from the top. It starts with the commissioner, Rob Manfred, allowing this to happen. They are manipulating the luxury tax rules by deferring payments. It all started with Shohei Ohtani. So they're going to be paying Ohtani, what is it?
$700
million? $700 million.
Most of it deferred.
But it calls for him to be paid only $2 million a year for the next 10 years, the duration of his contract. He's going to be getting paid $2 million a year. And then from then on, he'll be getting the whole $680 million deferred until the deal's over. And this is all confirmed by ESPN. They're doing it all. They're getting it done. And the collective bargaining agreement had nothing to do with this, had nothing to prevent issues like this. But you know what they are tackling, Mike? We got to limit the amount of times you can go visit the mound. That's a big issue.
They just made some changes.
Is it only two, right?
We can't allow that. That'll slow down the game. But let's build up the Dodgers because we want these TV deals. Who cares? I want to see baseball.
And look at this World Series matchup we had this past year. Mm-hmm. You think they weren't upset of those two markets as far as the audience?
Low viewership.
The Dodgers, for what they spent just on Ohtani, they could have signed every single running back in the NFL for the remainder of their contracts just for the price of Ohtani, just for him. And now, if you look at this, they have spent over $1 billion just in free agency on Ohtani, Yamamoto, and Glasnow.
What's Yamamoto's deal? $300 million.
His deal was $325 million. You have $136.5 million for Glasnow, $325 million for Mookie Betts, $165 million for Freddie Freeman. There needs to be a 30-30 on this because it's unbelievable that they're getting away with this. It's despicable to me that they've allowed this to happen. The rest of Major League Baseball has spent $873 million during free agency, and the Dodgers have spent over $1 billion. They've blown out the rest of the team. The Dodgers, just in free agency, are spending more than the Rays have ever spent on their entire franchise. That's worth more than what the Rays are worth right now, worth more than what the A's are worth right now, just in the deals that they signed over free agency. I don't know where they're getting this money from. It's unbelievable to me that they're doing this.
You know, I got a point to make real quick, just a real quick point. How do you think George Steinbrenner would feel about this? Do you think he'd be pushing the money out, you know, as he did for the Yankees?
Of course he would.
You think he would? You think
he would have been right in the middle of that battle.
Really? Okay.
It's crazy to me that the Yankees weren't more in play for a lot of these deals. And then you have the Mets, who
I don't think Hal has the drive and the desire for World Series championships. No. You know, he had it shoved down his, you know, it's a typical father-son relationship. That George was over the top, and we've talked to my friend Jeff Mangold about it many times, a former trainer there. And I don't think Hal has the stomach for that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's set for life.
Yep.
Whoever buys the Yankees next will probably take advantage of that marketplace. Mm-hmm. But they don't, they have not really done it since, 2009?
2009. This is the first time that they haven't won a World Series, and they've won a World Series in every decade except for this previous one. Yeah. It's unbelievable that they haven't gotten the job done. But what I do want to touch on is
how angry baseball was about the Mets trying to do this exact same thing.
Steve Cohen, yeah.
They were angry at him, saying this is a travesty. We need to step in and do something. But just because it's the Dodgers, that means that they have the right to go out and do this? Or just because it's the Yankees, they have the right to go out and do this? It's unbelievable.
Well, they had the ability to do it, but that ability should not exist on a level playing field. That's why I love the NFL model. I do not love.
See, I'm not an advocate for salary caps, but if you are going to have a luxury tax, make sure it's enforced. Make sure they actually do something about it instead of just rolling over because they're the Dodgers. Who cares if it's the Dodgers? It doesn't matter what team it is. Baseball, ever since free agency became a thing and players were able to kind of vie for the whatever team they want to go and leave, baseball's kind of struggled. We don't have these same hometown guys that stick with the team forever, and it sucks. I do think the players have the right to go out and seek other options and find teams that are willing to pay for them, but it just has destroyed the landscape of sports. I mean, look at the starting lineup for the Dodgers. We have Yamamoto, Bueller, Glasnow, Miller, and Sheehan. Like, they're going to be dominant.
Oh, yeah.
You know what, though? That blew up in the Mets' face last year. And you know, well, it blew up in the Mets' face. Mm-hmm. Then it blew up in Houston's face. It would be justice if the same thing happened. And, well, Otani's, he's damaged goods.
Yeah, but Tyler
Glasnow could be damaged goods.
Yep. Uh-huh. So the Dodgers starting rotation now has a combined 37 Tommy John surgeries. That's an MLB record. Never would you wish this on anybody, but if anybody's going to get it, their staff right now.
They're paying the big bucks for?
That they're paying the big bucks for.
37
Tommy John surgeries between their lineup.
Did they not go to Carfax?
I don't know what's going on. Maybe they think that they're not going to get injured, but Karma tends to come around. Not that I'm wishing injuries on anybody. I think that's a terrible thing to do. But I think there's going to be some karma that comes, whether it's them getting beat by the Diamondbacks with 87 wins when the Dodgers have 120 wins. I don't care what it is. I can't wait for them to get blown up in the playoffs. See Kershaw give up 1,000 runs in the playoffs. I can't wait. I'm so excited to see them get clobbered.
He is baseball Ben Botham. This is his Christmas cheer, but I'm on his side this time. It is the Grinch that stole baseball once again, as the big market gets what it wants.
You know, it's funny.
And the small markets, of course, we're sitting about a block across the street from Tropicana Field. What those guys have done over there now is even more outstanding when you see this outrageous spending and the owners across the league just sit around because they know that they're going to be reciprocated with some cash because of this. And that's what's infuriating.
Unbelievable to me. I mean, I know the Rays. We don't have
the payroll as the Dodgers do.
To spend that much, and we do a damn good job. And I'm very happy.
Great job. Yeah.
I'm
under
very
the circumstances.
Happy. Yeah. I couldn't.
Well, it depends what time of the year is how happy you are.
I know. It's because of my love for the team that I get angry and I get upset with them. I'm very happy
because of your
that
Italian-Irish background, by the way.
There's a little bit burning inside. But I'm very happy with what we're able to do with the product that we put on the field. And I do think we need to support them more for that. But also, Stu Sternberg needs to spend some cashola. He's got a lot of money. We have one of the biggest TV deals in all of sports. And for some reason,
we're number eight in the league.
And there's no reason why we shouldn't be able to put something out there. We're getting a whole stinking new stadium that, why can't we spend some money?
Yeah.
Do something. Spend some money. Get a pitcher. Get a hitter. Do anything you can. I'm not saying you need to fork out $1 billion, but at least be competitive. Throw in to some of these deals and try and get somebody.
Well, let's get a big hitter in then. He was a regular on our Big Monday down at Sea Dogs. He's like a son to me. He's the big old Oscar Garner III. He left the warm climate. Gorgeous day. Hey, let's give him a little weather report. Gorgeous day down here, half a block from where you used to live. Going to be about 76 degrees. Cool.
It doesn't even touch 76, Mike. 73 degrees.
73 degrees. Cool breeze. And let's get an update from Oscar Garner III on what are the conditions up there in Detroit City, my man?
There's not a leaf on any tree up here. There's already dirt on everybody's car. Pretty wet, pretty gray. You know, this is where I came up in. I feel at home. You know what, Mike? I'm gonna take the high road here. I feel invigorated being back in my home climate. I got my pullover on, the North Face and everything. Got my long johns. Just ready to work, man. What's going on with you, Mike? How you feeling?
Yeah, superb, buddy. But we want to get a little bowl game wrap up. We're efforting Alex Reba, your right hand man, whose career you made back in the day, just a few short months ago, and then he took off and left you high and dry. But you left him high and dry. So let's take a look at the bowl games and your predictions. Who's going to hoist the national championship? We won't waste your talent on who's going to win the Idaho Bowl today. We want you to break down the finality of the season, the Big Six games, and of course the Final Four.
Yeah, you know, if we look at the Final Four, I'm leaning on two things here. I'm leaning on one, the expertise and the track record of Nick Saban, and also another piece that it is extremely hard to beat a team twice in college football. So if I'm looking at the Rose Bowl starting out there, Alabama and Michigan, I think this is one of those games where if you simulated it 100 times, 1,000 times, you'd probably end up with 500 apiece on each team. There's no real edge, but if I were to quickly get to the point of where I think Alabama has its edges and where it could eke out a win here in Pasadena, two things that Michigan doesn't have. One, Alabama's offensive line over the last 3 weeks has given Jalen Milroe 30, 40, 50, and sometimes 2 hours to throw the ball. It feels like nobody can get to the quarterback. And Michigan's defense is going to have to dial up the pressure in the pass rush to be able to knock Milroe off. But here's another piece. Michigan's defense hasn't really faced a quarterback who uses his legs outside of Maryland. Little Tua, I'm forgetting his name. He's the most mobile quarterback he faced, and that was actually a rather close game.
What about the University of Iowa? That juggernaut and that incredible quarterback that they had.
Get out of here with that. You always want to throw that into the mix. Who's Iowa playing? What do you guys got in the bowl game?
We've got the Tennessee Volunteers, and we're just going to get the holy hell beat out of us because we have offense is non-existent.
Another Michigan QB facing Iowa.
Yeah, exactly. And thanks to the good old portal. So right. I digress. Get back at it, my friend.
No, just as I was saying, that's a big difference between the quarterback play here. If you look at J.J. McCarthy and you look at that offense, I'm not going to downplay J.J. McCarthy because he's been one of the most accurate QBs in college football this year. But he hasn't had to sling it like other QBs because of his backfield. He's only averaging about 200 yards per game. He's going to have to be very selective with his opportunities and be just as accurate as he has been because he doesn't have that same scramble and get out the way Milroe does. And I feel with the guidance of Nick Saban playing smart checkdown football that they have and the deep threats of Isaiah Bond out there, I mean, I think Alabama has just enough to, if it comes down to the wire, which I think this game will, it's going to be similar to what we saw against Auburn, similar to what we saw against Georgia, figuring it out in the last few minutes. And I think Alabama's going to be the one going to the playoff. Now, if we go over, going to the champ game, if we go over to the Sugar Bowl, right? We're in New Orleans for that. What a terrible draw for Washington to have to travel across state. Just a reminder for people, Washington hasn't had to come over to this time zone since the MSU game, and that wasn't much competition. So they haven't had to play, a big dominant team like Texas so far away from home. Their toughest matchup was playing Oregon, and that was right across the street. So, you know, they haven't had to face a dynamic offense like this so far away from home. And I think that's going to be very tough. I also think Quinn Ewers has looked great over these last couple of weeks. The one thing holding Texas back is going to be the fact that Brooks is out, right? That running game takes a big shot with him out. But they still have guys in that backfield that can make things happen. And, again, that offensive line is great at opening up holes. what's going to be key for Texas is going to be very accurate with the football. Washington, although they're not great at stopping, they're actually pretty good at generating turnovers. So as long as they're accurate and they don't give the ball up, I think Texas is actually going to be able to beat this Washington team. If it's going to be anything close, it's going to be a shootout. But I think Texas is going to be very, very highly efficient with the possessions that they get, and they're going to score pretty often. No shade to my guy. I can't even think of the QB at Washington's name right now. Penix. No shade to Penix or anything like that. But his defense fails him so often.
He's from Tampa, your old town. You can't forget his name.
I can't forget his name. Yeah, my bad, Penix. Shout out Penix. I feel like he got snubbed in that Heisman. But yeah, I just don't think that. I think he can keep up offensively, but I think his defense is going to leave him out there to dry. And it won't be where it's like Washington State or like Oregon, where we can just put the ball in his hands and say, hey, beat this team. The defense has to contribute in a way that they haven't all through the Pac-12. Maybe I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. You know. Now, with that being said, I got Texas. I got Bama. That's a rematch from, what, week 2, week 3 of this season. I already preluded to what I'm going to say here. The hardest thing to do in college football is to beat a team twice. Washington did it this year. Props to them. But that's different. Texas, 24-34, beat Alabama in T-Town, mind you. So got to give them their props. But I have to say, look, Nick Saban has seen this already. He's probably seen a lot more tape on Texas throughout this year. And without that running back that they got, I think that they're going to be – I think that Alabama's going to be poised to win that too. Big shocker, right, take Alabama to win the college football playoff. I know I'm going out on a limb there. But – I think, you know, if history tells itself to be true, I think Alabama is not going to lose twice to Sark and the boys in Texas.
I agree. Now, of course, there's a lot of conversation after yesterday's announcement. Of course, Florida State Seminoles, and they're going to sue the ACC, and they've got right now six or seven of their players have opted out for the Orange Bowl. You know, a lot of the fans, the faithful fan base, they wanted Florida State to make a statement against Georgia, but Georgia's, you know, they'll have their NFL-bound players sitting down as well. Your opinion on Florida State? Obviously, very bitter. A lot of emotion right now into these aggressive decisions they're making. But it's not going to be much of an Orange Bowl.
Yeah, I mean it's not going to be. And I think without Travis, it never really was going to be, in my opinion. So I think, you know, they're not throwing away an opportunity to make a statement here. I think the statement was made throughout the season. And I've been critical of Florida State throughout the year, but I highly respect that they're standing on the principles that they've tried to at least hold, you know, try to represent when they first got snubbed out of the playoffs. I think this all comes down to the fact that Jordan Travis is not available. I think that's what gets you out of the playoffs. And now you're in this position where now that I'm thinking about it, If you're thinking about the future of where we're going with college football, you need Florida State to stand up to this right now. You need them to make a statement. And don't go out quietly. Go out quick kicking and screaming, because as money gets more and more involved, we're going to need people who stand on value, stand on morals, and stand on principle, regardless of what the committee thinks, regardless of what different people do. So I respect it, and I hope that something comes of this. I don't think this is the first time we've seen a team sue their conference or sue the conference sue the committee, or I forget who's suing who, but I don't think this is the first time we've seen something like this. But hopefully this time, you know, we get something out of this, some sort of reform or some sort of rules being put in place for this future that we're going to, which I think I heard another analyst say is barreling towards the world of a college football super league. And who knows, you know, who's going to get hurt and who's going to win in that type of world.
Well, say hello to Ben. By the way, thank you for that expertise. It reminds me of those great Mondays down at Sea Dogs. But now let's lighten it up a little bit and talk a little Christmas. I've got Brad Richardson in front of me, and Ben, you know the trio of us down here. Your favorite Christmas song, my young friend up there in Michigan?
Oh my gosh, my favorite Christmas song. But you gave it. This Christmas, oh my, you gave me my heart. That was, I love that Christmas song, man. And that music
Christmas,
video,
you clown.
That music, Is that Last Christmas? Last Christmas.
Last Christmas, Christmas, yeah.
I love that song, man. That is, and the music video for that, if you've never seen that, is one of the most overly produced, cheesy little ski, they're like in a little ski lodge, whatever. But I eat it up every single time, and I sing from the top of my lungs every single time it comes on.
Okay, so it's not a white Christmas up there. It's dingy, dark. I'm going to the same thing in Iowa. It's sad, but you're still going to have some festive activities up there. Describe the Christmas you're going to have up there in Detroit City.
You know, it's actually going to be, it might not be white and whatnot, and it doesn't actually really snow up here in Michigan until January and whatnot. We rarely get a white Christmas up here. But the thing that I'm focused on getting this Christmas is the fact that the past few years I've been here out of a duffel bag, you know, I've been here out of a suitcase, and now I'm here with my family, and I'm not really going anywhere, you know. And I think part of that it's a little bit more settling, and you know, you don't have to worry about shipping your gifts back that your parents get you or your family get you. It's just nice to be here and be with my family and have a real family Christmas that. You know, I can be here to help take the tree down. I think being here more for the season is what's going to touch my heart this year. I'm actually heading out to the mall right now to pick up a couple last-minute things just to make it special for everybody.
All right, my man. Well, we miss you down here. We'll be having you on as a now a cameo guest appearance to the Big O as often as we can get you, especially for some college basketball insight. And if you talk to Alex, tell him thanks for dogging you and me. We look forward to his insight as well. So have a very Merry Christmas, my man, and we'll talk to you after the first of the year.
Absolutely. Talk to you later, Mike.
He's Oscar Garner III, the Big O. It was enjoyable. I met him right here. He was walking by. I think you heard the story.
Yeah, I was there with you, Mike.
Oh, yeah. Remember he was shooting like a video? I was
shooting a video
what
walking
the hell
on
is this
down.
Guy doing? And we started a conversation, and then it evolved. And the next thing you know, he was on the golf show with me.
Yeah.
Because he knew a lot more about golf than I did. And he was a caddy up in Michigan at an esteemed course. And he got his Michigan State School of Business degree from there as well.
Very nice.
So yeah. What's on the agenda in the Richardson household on Sunday?
Well, we usually have a tradition where we will sit there and watch a few Christmas movies. Obviously, I made
Christmas Story. You guys like Christmas Story?
Oh, I love that. Yes, right? Yes, I love
classic.
That.
Hey, it's a
classic.
You know, my mom's from Cleveland, area. Yeah. So they love watching that movie. We watch it nonstop.
And the house really does exist. It really does.
Yeah.
You can stay in that house overnight. Plus, you can take a tour of it.
Yeah, it's Airbnb by now.
Yep, that's what it is now. And then I make a gingerbread eggnog. So if you ever
do?
I'm a multifaceted person, okay? I like to bake. All right. I think we were talking briefly at the break about my chocolate pie, my Hershey chocolate pie and all that. I've already gotten the banana bread from Ben's mother. Thank you, Mrs. Botham, if you're listening.
Let you leave the area yet though.
but no, we watch Christmas Vacation, obviously. There's a few other Christmas movies we'll watch, but that's usually the big tradition that we do. So
Ben?
Yeah, you know, going to be bacon. Of course, we got to send cookies out to every human being we've ever met.
It's a fabulous job.
And, you know, it'll be that. I got to wrap some presents. I still got to pick my mom out something extra. So I got to go pick up some stuff. And, pretty much just spending time with the family, cooking, bacon. And
well, you guys have a very, very Merry Christmas. I'll be up in the frozen tundra on the 26th, on the 25th. I'll be down at the pier. Going to catch a little Christmas service. So for Roddy Soccer, Jim Hart, Brad Richardson, Big O, John Ruggles, Seminole Warhawk Soccer. That was great. And Rick Macy, Joe Boudreau, Matt on the controls. I'm Mike Rickard. Thanks for listening to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection. Wishing you and your families a fabulous weekend. God bless you. God bless America. And as always, be sure to have a championship week and a very Merry Christmas.